Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, welcome to the big lying edition of Kennedy Malloy. Today's show is full of big fat liars.
Don't look at me when you're saying that.
Who are wandering around telling whoppers.
Well, they're from all walks of life, from the top to the bottom.
And we are going to riff them all conclusively. Let's start at the top. Donald Trump.
Yep.
He is the biggest and the best, the most
bald-faced
liar we've ever seen. We'll be honouring him and giving you a chance to call us with the best lie you've told recently.
I don't really lie.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's one right there. Your pants virtually caught fire as you said that.
Steady on.
I'm warming my hands on your bot
hey,
as we speak.
Hands off. We're going to chat with Craig Rucastle as well from The Chaser, and he's also got another great show on the ABC.
What's his show called? War on Waste, is it?
War on Waste, War on Waste. Correct.
Do you know what? Almost over the environment. Nature.
You think we've done our bit?
The environment.
No, come on. There's still a little bit
to go.
You're
really testing my patience now.
What's wrong
with a little bit of litter?
Well, I'll tell you what's testing your patience. There's a chick flit alert.
Chick flick alert?
Yeah, there's a few movies coming on.
Strap yourself in, boys. Huddle around the radio.
Yeah,
we'll tell you where to be, where not to be, how to avoid any contact with the cinema over the next week. It could blow up in your face. Lawrence Mooney is on the program.
Well, that means a friend of his who is the Prime Minister of Australia, Malcolm Turnbull.
All right, we'll have him
He's coming in as well.
We're going to talk about Julian Assange. He might be getting the boot from the Ecuadorian embassy.
How many years?
That'll be a send-off, won't it?
That's a big stay.
How long did he come for?
I reckon 2 weeks.
Yeah. Two weeks initially. Hey, we might ask you, have you had a house guest from hell? Could be a chance to get involved. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. There's so much more to wade through on today's program.
Ooh.
We will get there eventually.
Hello,
Dave. Music down, Dave.
Are you done?
Dear.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Well, gently. Have you heard of a fade? What are you?
Well, being a game changer.
No, well,
now you don't even know how to fade down some opening
music.
I can
fade, but you said get the music down, so I thought I'll get it down quickly.
Oh. It's our lying edition. Have you got something for us, Dave?
I'm a pretty genuine kind of guy. Although I am a Gemini, so I'm a bit two-faced, so I can backstab
it. How dare you? I'm a Gemini,
are
too.
Oh, it's all making sense to me now. I'm a Cancer. Born same day as Julius Caesar, as if it wasn't obvious.
You're also a bit crabby. That makes sense, too. You've got little snippity snippers.
And I tend to walk into a room sideways. Hey, guys. Sorry if I'm a bit distracted. I was watching Shark Tank last night.
Oh, yeah.
It was a good episode. Elon Musk was on. Yeah.
It was.
He was demonstrating something.
It was a good episode. I thought a bit. I saw a couple of uni students.
Oh, yeah. The young liberals.
Yep.
The Hitler Youth wandered out.
Looked a bit Aryan. I don't know.
Launch a good project. Got nothing from the sharks.
They're tough, those judges.
One day I hope someone does make $1 billion and go and buys all their companies and burns them to the ground.
I don't know. I mean,
then sues them in a court of law. Because they do get on the front.
They do.
And their kids getting out of the ground and all of a sudden you've got this raft of business heavyweights. What do they do? What are they like?
Well, one's Pet Barn, I believe. You know, it's around Janine Ellis's Boost Juice.
We make a fortune out of your dog.
My dog.
That's how he raised to fame. Became a billionaire.
I've always said that. Get on board pets
and
dogs. And everyone's an idiot. They don't understand. Oh, Naomi
Simpson. About a Pet Barn where you just take your pets to get put down?
No.
Like a Pet Barn, Mickey's Pet Barn. No. Come on.
That is not
one
funny.
Dogs enter, no one leaves.
No, I don't like
horrible.
That. Hey, you know, can I ask a question?
It's got to happen, Dave.
Why does Naomi Simpson always wear a red dress?
Who's Naomi Simpson?
She's the bird from Red Balloon.
Red dress. Every week she's got a red dress on.
Is that because it's Red Balloon? Sorry for it. What's happening with the wardrobe department?
I'm going to go in there. I'm going to invent a reversible dress. It's a different colour.
I like that.
Do you reckon I might get on there with a couple of my ideas?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? You got some?
Well, you know, we did this last time. I gave you my big idea, which is, you know, like the dustbin lid, which you put your foot on and the lid pops up.
Yeah.
With that for the toilet seat.
Mm-hmm.
So not that bad. Guys come in and psh, there you go. No one has to touch the toilet seat. There's that one.
That's quite clever. I like that.
I've got a new one.
Mm.
Now, this is a good one.
I'm ready.
So, you know, guys wear shirts. You wear your shirt out, Dave.
Mm. Sure.
So you might have your Hawaiian shirt on or your bowling shirt
or your shirt.
You're just
flannel.
Just wearing it round.
Yeah.
And, well, how often do you need a bottle opener and you don't have one? So
yeah.
On the inside flap of the bottom, you've got sewn in a bottle opener. So when you, oh, here, mate, here's a beer. Oh, thanks. You just pick your shirt up,
That is actually a really good idea.
Thank you.
Because you, you can do it with a twist with your shirt.
You can do it with a twist, but you still do it. How many times do you see blokes with getting this thing out?
And they'll ruin the shirt.
Well, I can't. Well, now, with my new idea.
Built-in bottle opener.
Oh, back that.
That's genius.
And what about for you or the girls, like a hair tie corkscrew?
That doubles as a hair curler.
That's not a bad one.
That's pretty good. I think that's a good idea. We could do that.
They just lighten up stupid shark tanks.
They're very tough. They're tough on another.
What have they done?
There was a mother-daughter last night who was trying to sell their cups, coffee cups, and they were calling them biodegradable something. And they said they're the only one of their kind in Australia.
Right.
And I think one of the guys just said, I might just Google that. Yeah, no.
What about this one?
No, there's plenty of it going.
What about my one? So now, it's like, how detectives have a shoulder holster where they keep their gun?
Yeah.
So you take a jacket, you've got a shoulder holster, and it's got different badges. You can keep your phone and your wallet.
Was it in the shape of what a gun would fit in, though?
Yeah, but it's a shoulder holster, Jane, so it makes you feel like you're macho.
Don't get cranky.
Yeah. So you come home and go, oh, I've had a hard day at the office. You take the jacket off and you start have you gone today, kids? What answers? But then you don't have it in your pockets. You've got
it all
in
your... braces as well.
Okay, you know what?
And
forget
your arms,
it, Jane.
Sleeve rolled up.
Worse than the woman in the red dress. Hey, it's time for a lying edition. Have we got a...
Kennedy Malloy's... By a Liar Edition.
We're going to come back and we're going to break out some bald-faced lies to you in all walks of life.
We've got plenty.
We're going to start with the world of Twitter after this.
It's our Liar, Liar edition.
Kennedy Malloy. 'Cause I'm a liar. Liar, Liar edition.
Yeah, it gives me no great joy to go
Nor
through
does it
this.
Me.
But, Jane, there's...
Nor
this,
does it me. It I'm disappointed,
that's all. It seems
that's
to me the times we live in, you're lying. If you get caught lying, you double down.
You'll always be found out. This is what I say.
News. You don't know what to believe anymore. Yeah. Imagine my dismay when I read it. Twitter, the world of Twitter.
Mm.
I can't believe everything I read in here on Twitter. And that there are people out there with fake followers. What's the story?
Mickey Twitter last week announced that it was purging dodgy and suspicious accounts.
And this is interesting. The reason why they're doing this, of course, is because advertisers are questioning the validity.
Correct.
Of their data.
And the number of followers that some people and entertainers
have. So they're saying, hang on, you say you've got this many followers, but I don't know. How can you verify
it?
I don't believe you.
Yeah.
So on the basis of a dollar, Twitter have finally started to crack down on what is being immoral.
They have, which the findings have been quite extraordinary.
Well, let's rifle through them and let's turn the attention to our very own industry.
Our own backyard.
Our own backyard. And this reflects badly on all of us, I'm afraid.
It does because, unfortunately, it's hit the radio industry and some of the biggest names in the industry.
You sound so surprised, Dave. We'll get to you.
The biggest names in the industry, couple of them have failed the worst.
Give me some.
Well, Kyle and Jackie O.
Wow.
They're deemed to have only 57% real followers.
So how many followers does that?
Well, let me just get my figures. That's 217,403 fake followers.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
Of their followers on their Twitter site.
Fake stuff.
But stand by.
Oh, what's happening?
This is going to upset you because it's upset me.
Fire away.
Well, our good friends, Hamish and Andy.
No.
No.
What?
No, they haven't fared much better.
What's happened to Hamish and Andy?
They have 500,000 fake followers, Mick.
Wow. Do you know what?
505,824, making it only 63% thumbs up score.
Can I say something?
What?
I knew this. I never trusted those two. Did you know there was always something about those two?
I'm really devastated. I looked up to those boys.
Was it Hamish's beady little eyes? I don't know. Was it Andy? It's something about Andy. You know what he reminds me of? He's the type of guy who's probably going to, I don't know, wear fake medals during an Anzac Day parade. Is it just me? Because those guys are always, you got that dodgy, I'm up to something.
Do you know what? They're both too tall.
Do you know what?
That's
the
problem.
If Andy ever gets cancer, check it.
Hey,
gee, oh, that just, is low.
I'm just saying,
he's
not going down that track.
He's not that kind of guy.
He's got the Bill Gibsons. No, he's got a touch of the Bill.
You think he's got a touch of that? Anyway, no, that's very disappointing.
Zoe Foster Blake should look out because Hamish is the type of guy who'd fake his own death to get out of a marriage, Olivia Newton-John style. Am I wrong? Am I the only one who's sensing?
Well, I'm not predicting that.
Seedy underbelly.
And you can own that whole what you just said. Then you can own that.
Surprised the two of them haven't claimed the $55 million lotto ticket. That's the way. You know what I'm saying?
I don't.
You just get
exactly
a vibe from those two.
It's very disappointing to hear.
Well,
because,
who? Why? Well, what?
Because I'll tell you, do you want to hear what the Kennedy Malloy result is?
Are we involved in this?
No, we come out like shining gold, sweet smelling like roses. What? We have got a 97% audit score. Well, we've only got 66 fake followers.
Oh, well done.
We've only got 3,000 real. Which came as a bit of a shock to us both.
Hey, hang on, we got 3,000 followers.
Yeah, and we've got 66 fake ones.
66 fake ones? Well, who are the fake ones?
Guess what? I ordered the audit and I've got the fake ones in my hand.
Have you got all the names of our fake followers?
I've got all the names of our fake followers. All right, the first one, South Warrior, Jamie Park, Trista Zabel, Carol.
Carol?
I thought that was sus.
Carol.
Buck Lovelace. Now, I wouldn't have thought Buck Lovelace would be a fake
I've been
one.
In a Twitter war with Buck Lovelace.
Graham Nelson.
Oh, he sounds dodgy.
Helen Reese. Hawkeye.
Yeah. Hawkeye? You mean as in Alan Alda? Have you got a quote from Alan Alda over there?
No, you must have a quote
nothing
from
at my fingertips.
Tell me you've given me.
I don't.
Alison Brown. The list goes on. I've got the 66 names.
Hey, there was another one there.
Yeah, there's another one.
Who?
Dangerous Dave.
Oh, go.
No.
We've done an audit.
I don't have that many followers.
You've got more followers than the Kennedy Malloy account. Okay, I'll give you the team. Right, you've got 4,500 real followers. And 97 fake followers.
Wow, really?
You've got 97 fake ones.
Sleazebag.
I'm no 500,000. I'm no Hamish and Andy, though.
Well, this brings me to something.
Can
we get more followers? What the hell?
At Kennedy Malloy.
Jane Fraser. Yeah. Can I tell you, Jane Fraser, I can't believe it's one of our fake followers. She's hot. I've been sending her dick pics.
Not.
And you're telling me.
Please don't do that.
You're telling
to
me
anybody?
That Jane Fraser doesn't exist.
Jane Fraser is. She's a fembot.
She's our hottest follower.
Well, she's not real.
So we're up to our neck in this as well.
We are. But we're not as bad as some the of
same,
the others.
Tarred with the same brush. Can we give out some of our details?
Yeah, Dave? At Kennedy Malloy.
Please thank follow you. Us on Instagram as well. We're falling down.
What about
behind.
My Instagram? Mick Malloy 66. Yeah. I've only got 2 followers.
I'm Jane_L_Kennedy.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a fembot.
Mick did have a Twitter at one stage, but you forgot the password. Is that right?
No, he's still got
it.
One.
I've got. I can't get
You've
into
still
it.
Got one.
Get into it.
We can use it.
Oh,
all right, we've got more liars.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy. Kennedy Malloy's. Liar edition.
Jane Kennedy, Mick Malloy for the drive home. Liar, liar.
Yes, we are knee deep in it. Now, the biggest of them all in world news right now has to be Donald J. Trump, who, this is no surprise to anyone, he has a rich history of telling whoppers and then doubling down on the whoppers and then accuse everyone else of fake news.
It's and he doesn't care
about it. It's an incredible
it. Really
way
does.
Of engaging the world that causes great confusion and in the end exhaustion and you just bat on anyway because another one's coming down the pike. It's an incredible way how he's changed the way we'll look at politics forever. Now, yesterday he held a summit in Helsinki with President Putin, which has, well, let's just say he didn't get glowing reviews from anyone back home in America, the opposition or his own party.
This was the time and the place for the president to look Putin squarely in the eye and said, you will be punished for what you did in 2016 and don't ever think about doing that again.
It's just as serious to me as the Cuban Missile Crisis in terms of an attack or the 9/11 attack. The president is taking the side of the people who attacked us instead of trying to prevent a future attack.
President Trump, I just saw your press conference with President Putin, and it was embarrassing. I mean, you stood there like a little wet noodle, like a little fanboy.
A U.S. president on foreign soil talking to our biggest enemy or adversary or competitor, I don't know how we define them these days, is essentially letting the guy get away with this.
I think he's... actions today were outrageous. The President of the United States sided with Vladimir Putin over the unanimous assessment of the American intelligence community.
I mean, you literally sold out at this press conference, our intelligence community, our justice system, and worst of all, our country.
And I would say that his performance today will live in infamy as much as the Pearl Harbor attack or Kristallnacht.
And what's the matter with you?
Fairly comprehensive. And it was, for the first person, for a guy who's kind of slipped out sideways every time.
I'm still disturbed why everybody's in a bit of shock about it. I mean, honestly, we've known what that guy's been
on about.
I know,
but this was an incredible thing to do, stand up. I think everyone thought the thrust and parry of domestic politics, you're allowed to have a go at your own intelligence forces, but when you get on the world stage, you're standing
next to an enemy.
You're standing there,
what, really.
You're a guy who's
traditionally
undermined your elections, that you would generally toe the country line, and he didn't. In fact, let's not do Arnie again, but let's go straight to what he actually said, which has gone a long way to court. This is just one grab, but one that's caused a lot of the problems.
My people came to me, Dan Coats came to me and some others. They said they think it's Russia. I have President Putin. He just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be.
Talking about meddling in their elections, who meddled in our...
And he said he doesn't think there's any reason why it would be.
It would be. Anyway, so that's fairly damning and fairly emphatic. So a day and a half later, after that reaction, he fronts up, and this
I
is...
I can't believe what I'm about to hear here. This is crazy.
And this is real fifth grade stuff, really is. Have a listen to how he explains how he misspoke and what he meant to say.
So I got a transcript, I reviewed it. I actually went out and reviewed a clip of an answer that I gave. And I realize that there is a need for some clarification. It should have been obvious. I thought it would be obvious, but I would like to clarify just in case it wasn't. In a key sentence in my remarks, I said the word would instead of wouldn't. The sentence should have been, I don't see any reason why I wouldn't or why it wouldn't be Russia. So... just to repeat it, I said the word would instead of wouldn't.
Oh, come on.
I almost thought I could hear the journalists and the photographers laughing when he said that.
Of course they are. Of course they are. They know what it is. And here's the proof in the pudding for me. Say you wanted to buy that. If that had happened, he would have rushed straight back on stage afterwards. The minute it happened,
right.
And
of
a
course.
Minder would have said to him, oh, my God,
Excuse me, sir.
We just made an incredible mistake.
Yeah.
When I said wouldn't, I meant would.
Yeah.
But a day and a half later, he finally funds up and goes, oh, sorry, I thought it was obvious.
Because he's copped it.
Because he's absolutely been kicked to death. Oh, sorry, didn't I make myself clear? So it's absolutely unbelievable. And from one of the greatest liars there ever was, you say you shouldn't be surprised by this. Do you remember even before he was president, the biggest lie ever told? That Obama
so
was
many.
Not born.
Oh,
in
that's
America.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Now,
that's
this
right.
is massive. That a sitting American president was not born in the United States. He started a whole movement, the Bertha Movement, which was based around that. The minute he was made president, the next biggest lie ever came down. This is the biggest inauguration that has ever been
right.
seen. And you look at the pictures, and it is
no.
clearly not.
No.
So from the moment, from before he got going, from the moment he got going.
But this is how he's run business for years, Mick. This is what he does. And in fact, he's quite proud of it. And he just says, if you just bang on with a whole bunch of lies, people, they'll finally believe it.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to, in honour of the great Donald Trump, the greatest liar the world has ever seen, we're going to give you a chance to enter the fray. And for a prize, tell us what is the biggest lie you've ever told.
And don't lie about lying. I mean, give us if you've told a whopper, give us the guff. We'd like to know properly.
We'll get the ball rolling. We'll go to a break and come back. Marco's already on the line. Marco will get us rolling. Marco, how are you?
Good. How are you going, guys? I love your show.
Thank you, mate. You can help us out. You've told a bit of a lie lately.
Well, it wasn't me, and I can't say names, to be honest. You know why. A mate of mine had a fake indoor soccer team. That every Wednesday they told their wives they were going to soccer. They'd be going to the pub, take their soccer bag,
And every Wednesday they go to the pub. Nobody gets better.
What?
They had an interview trip as well. and for the piece of resistance, they actually made fake trophies. They won the league.
Oh, they said they won.
They won the league.
So, that Marco, your awesome. Friends had a fake indoor soccer team when That's they were just awesome. Going down the pub. They organised yep. an interseason trip and won a fake trophy.
Exactly
Marco right. has set the ball
can't
rolling.
Say names. I can't.
Give him
that
a prize, Dave.
Yep. Thank
you,
Marco.
Get a $100 fuel voucher, or have you? Anyway.
1-3-3-5-3.
Get amongst it. In honour of the leader of the free world, it is our Liar Liar edition, and 1-3-3-5-3, get involved. Have you told a lie?
Yes.
Are you a liar?
Well, I think we all have to put a hand up here at some
all right.
stage.
All right.
I'll put my hand up.
Okay.
It was a couple of years ago now, but over summer there was a Peter Pub swim to the pub I was at.
Yeah.
And they had a couple. And I noticed how much attention everyone who was getting who'd swum the Peter Pub.
Oh, no.
So I've taken my top off and texted a number on my arm, and I'm sitting there at the bar doing a pocking. I tell you what, the sea was angry today, my friend. I just started telling stories. Can I tell you one about my mate?
That's funny. Yeah, go.
So my mate, and I've told this story before, so if you've heard it.
That's all right. I like hearing your stories.
Benny, a mate of mine, his girlfriend has breaking up with him because he just let her down too many times. Okay. He said, give me one more chance. Just give me one more chance. I'll make it up to you. Meet me for dinner at the George. We'll have dinner and, you know, please. She goes, okay. So anyway, she's waiting. He's about an hour late.
Why?
Well, he's an hour late. So he gets there and she's going, well, they've given our table away. Let's go. We're done. He goes, hang on. Let me sort this out. He goes up to my G. He goes, excuse me, my name's Dr. Bartolome and I've been in emergency surgery. And I understand that you have given my table away, and that is a disgrace. And they go, okay, we're really sorry. They went and found him a table, the two of them, right by the window.
Good tables.
Anyway, just as they sit on the table out the front, you hear, bang, car accident, door swings open. No. Is there a doctor in here? Wow. I swear to you.
Is that a true story?
I swear to you, he went out
my
there.
God.
He was pretty much taking a pulse at one stage.
No.
And then when the ambulance arrived, he just bolted.
Over to you guys, he
well
said.
Well done,
Renato Bartolome.
That is.
You have not been forgotten.
That is a
have
great
you got
story.
One?
Oh, look, mine's not as dramatic because I don't lie. Right? And I have to go back to my teenage years, but it involves my father and my sister and I and mum. It was a collusion between the girls in the
Here
house.
We go.
And we went to buy these groovy jeans. And they were really expensive at the time. They're about $100 for jeans,
sure.
Which years ago that was expensive.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dad always used to like us modelling the clothes. He goes, girls, Mum said you've been for a shop today. Come out and model the clothes for us. We go, oh, my God. All right. So we come out. We got the jeans on. And he goes, they look terrific. How much do they cost? I go, $50. He goes, $50? That's about as big a lie.
Big a lie as you get. Did he ever learn the true value of those jeans?
No, but if he's listening now, he probably has.
Wow.
They were $100, Ray. Sorry.
Dave.
I don't lie.
You don't lie?
No.
I've got one for you.
What?
This is from your podcast
Let's
the other day.
Press this button.
Yeah. Here we go.
I think it's just the passion to try and keep doing it better because I'm never, ever satisfied with what I do.
Is that
ever,
right?
Ever.
Oh, okay. We think that might be.
Let's go to the callers, people. Jeremy's on the line. Jeremy, have you told a lie?
Yeah, I have. When I was a kid, if you cut an earbud in half, it turns into an awesome dart and a slug gun. And when I was 14, I shot the neighbour's kid. He was about 8. In the back of the neck, sticking on the ear.
With a slug gun.
If he wanted to hang out with us, yeah, from the hip. It was a great shot. Over 20 feet, I'll know it is. And anyway, so I'm done. Oh, boys, I'm great. So I begged him not to tell his mum. I told him that I threw a rock at him, which got me in a ton of trouble anyway.
But
so about a month later, I cut a tree down on him and got my revenge. It was great.
Oh,
are you calling us from a boys' school right now, Jeremy?
Or prison.
Yes. Well done, Jeremy.
Thanks, Jeremy. Oh, I don't think you should get a prize for hitting a kid with a slug gun, but it's a good story.
Part of me is sympathetic. Vince, what did you do? Hey, what's the lie, biggest lie you ever told?
I'd like to come clean. I've felt bad about it ever since.
Yeah, sure.
Started dating this girl. First night at her place,
had a bit to drink and going to bed, and I'm thinking, oh, I'll be right. I don't need to go to the toilet. I'll hold this. You know, it's a big walk to the bathroom.
Sure, buddy.
I'm not wearing any clothes.
You've made your choice.
Look, I let a bit out in the middle of the night.
You won't lie.
Not a heap, you know, a small, maybe 30-centimetre puddle.
You went the bed, Vince. You went the bed.
In the bed with the girl.
Vince.
Wow, all right. Well,
what's the lie?
What are you telling her? What's the lie?
So I got out. I hit it up in the morning. And I come back in, and she's coming back in. I go, oh, my God, your dog's pissed in the bed.
Wow. The old trusty dog. Mate, if it wasn't for dogs, we'd all be in a lot of trouble.
There are places in hell for people like you, Vince.
There should be a march for dogs.
There should
one day
be.
A week for all the heat they've taken on our behalf. Hey, Vince, get yourself a chamber pot. I've got one. They come in handy.
She rubbed the dog's head in the piss.
Okay.
We don't need to go
okay.
on. We shouldn't have gone back to Vince, to be really honest.
The poor dog.
I'm going to start a charity for dogs.
That dog's taken one for the team. His face is being rubbed into Vince's
bed. Is this bloke in my mum's bed, by the way?
What's been going on?
That's terrible.
Now am I the bad guy? You're a bad dog.
Oh.
All right, Vince. Wow. Geez, no prize for you, Vince. Nathan, what's going on, mate? What's a lie?
All right, I've got three beautiful young girls, right?
Good work.
Now, when the first two were born, the in-laws were always on the phone every day around the due date. Come on, are you in labour yet? Is the baby born? Are you in hospital?
Yeah.
And it just drove me and the missus crazy. So when we fell pregnant with the third one, we told them it was due a month later than what it was.
Are you serious?
Yes.
So did you actually have the baby and then not tell them
and then
for
go,
a month?
Oh, by the way, we've had it.
Oh, no, we had the baby. And they're like, oh, it came early. Yes.
Oh, that's a good one.
Give Nathan a prize.
Yeah, prize back for you, Nathan.
Well done.
One more.
Speak the same with Terry. Terry, what's the lie?
Hi, I was married to a soldier,
mm-hmm.
and he was deployed to Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
And,
right,
you know, as a wife, I was absolutely terrified. And he used to ring me on the satellite phone and all sorts of things. I used to get reports of, you know, what they did and the dreadful things that happened during today.
Well, that sounds frightening.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, yeah.
It was. It was absolutely terrifying. Except the lying bleep bleep was actually in Townsville the entire time.
So he was really more in danger of getting sunburnt than...
Because Townsville gets pretty tough,
yeah.
too, Terry.
Yeah.
Terry.
Hey, was he coming home going, oh, I feel a bit, I really need a cuddle, babe. Hey, really.
Well, no, he was in Afghanistan. He didn't come home.
All right.
Terry, was I picking up that was your ex-husband?
Ex.
Give her a prize, Dave.
Yeah, prize pack for you as well.
Thank you.
Well done, Terry.
No, Terry, you've had to go.
Yeah. Sorry, Terry.
It's getting a bit litigious.
Yeah.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Craig Rucastle has been making us laugh on our TVs for years as part of the award-winning and controversial Chaser team.
I can't help you out with your short penis with some herbal remedies. No, definitely not.
Some of the Chaser stunts have even managed to get them on A Current Affair.
Your thoughts on Osama bin Laden?
Look, I think he's working well for the show.
Is it right to use him in your promos, though, on September 11th?
Oh, look, he's much cheaper at the moment because he's not working, you know, living in the cave.
War on Waste was a ratings hit for the ABC and even snared the Logie for Best Documentary.
All the people who tweeted me photos of their bins, thank you, and keep that happening. And always make sure you put your coffee cup in my face when you show me what you're using.
But Craig took his love of recycling one step further on the Logie's red carpet.
I'm entirely wearing op shop clothing only. And look, I'm going to make sure no drinks are unfinished at the end of the night.
Back to promote season two of War on Waste, which hits the ABC next week, please welcome Craig Rucastle.
Good afternoon, Craig.
Good to be here.
Hey, it doesn't seem to be your natural home, red carpet on the Logies.
No, I don't love the red carpet on the Logies, / the Logies.
But congratulations then on winning.
Yeah,
for, you did.
Doco, yeah?
Yeah. It was good. It was good.
You seem uncomfortable with it.
Oh, look, it was great. Everyone was really into it. And
you prefer it on the outside looking in, don't you? Instead of being now anointed
did
by
you have
the
a fun,
gang.
Did you have a fun table?
Yeah, no, it was good. Great table, actually. A lot of the checkout people and War and Waste people. It was a great table. It was good. It was a good night, you know, Gold Coast. It was interesting because it's the first time that there's been more makeup and fake breasts on the other side of the red carpet.
Hey, can I just say something? I'm over the environment. Why can't my footprint be huge?
I can't. Oh, I can imagine yours.
Why do I care? You know what happens? Every time I recycle something these days, I just want to punch a dolphin in the face.
Well, I think that's the balance. I think that's how it works for me. That's, if you're not seeing, that's in the legislation. If you recycle enough, you get to punch a dolphin in the face.
What is wrong with the world without whales? why are you on this crusade? Tell me why we should all be buying into this.
Well, we should, I guess because we want to save the planet.
We want to save the planet.
Heaps of this stuff does actually affect, climate change's effects. And it's also just terrible. I mean, it does kill animals and it does also, no one loves litter all around them as well. So it's pretty rubbish.
So one of the statistics that really kills me, because I reckon I've got 6,000 kilos of this stuff at home, but it's 6,000 kilos of clothes.
Oh, yeah.
We throw out every 10 minutes on this planet.
I don't think Craig has. I mean, let's be
honest. But I'm saying, why is this a problem? We just clothes. What are they doing clogging up the
clothes world? Are a huge problem. And I feel like this is the one area where, despite Mick punching a lot of dolphins, that's probably where he's ahead on the fashion front, whereas Jane, you're probably behind on that front.
I'm a little, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's amazing, though. It's kind of fashion's got faster, so you've got, clothes change over so much quicker because they're so much cheaper.
And we've got so many more sweatshops.
Exactly. And people buy it. But it has a massive impact. It's like often the actual growing of it has a massive impact in terms of water and the dye goes into. That's all in the third world, though. So you don't have to worry about that, Mick. It's fine.
Yeah, okay.
No, that is interesting to me.
So in your perfect world, I'd be getting around a loincloth and Jane would be wearing a coconut bra. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, look, it's a great idea. The coconut, you've got the drink out of it. You're reusing it.
It's solving
food waste as well. That's great. Okay.
And it's giving people jobs, chopping them down.
So the show basically encourages us and teaches us how to live a responsible way when it comes to waste.
Well, we kind of give ideas. Some of the stuff you can't really change necessarily yourself. So there's a bit of kind of hassling the politicians and maybe businesses to do. But there's a lot of things you can do yourself as well. So we try and, give those kind of suggestions.
But you do it in an entertaining way, and that's why the show's different, and that's why it's watchable.
Sounds a bit highbrow. Does anyone get voted off?
No, you're not.
Does anyone get voted off?
No, you're not telling people off. That's what I like because I'm sick of being told off.
And I'm not telling anyone off because I'm not claiming I'm perfect.
Got a cash cow? We got a cash cow.
Yeah. And we use all of him. When we cut him up, there's no food waste left.
It's nose to tail.
Okay, here's a big one at the moment. All this hoo-ha about plastic bags. Is it happening? Is this what change? The argument I get every time from, why are we bothering about our emissions? Australia releases 0.0001. Mm. Why do we care? Why have we got plastic bags?
Well, I guess in answer to your first thing, we're pretty much one of the highest emitters in the world.
Yes.
In this developing world. So it's probably good if we get a little bit better.
Good for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Aussie.
And when it comes to plastic bags, again, it's something that it's funny. I've just been in South Australia and they're all mystified because, the eastern states that are currently going losing their shit, right? They're losing their shit as if this is the end. And everyone in South Australia is going, we didn't even realise you still had this. We got into this like 10 years ago and everyone's used to it and there's no fuss whatsoever.
So catch up.
Most half of Australia's already done this and the other half of Australia's losing the shit as if, how could anybody do this,
I remember the very first time I was asked domestically to separate recycle from, and I went, well, there goes the lifestyle. This is the fall of Rome.
The lifestyle.
It's over.
It's too much to think about.
It's over.
I'm pretty sure you were burning in the backyard, mate. Come on.
What was wrong with the burn off?
The incinerator. Where's that?
Should there be like one day amnesty? if we live a good life, can we have one muck up day where we can go and set fire to a tire in the backyard or something like that?
It's bizarre you say that because actually the federal government is currently putting about $200 million into investigating waste energy, which is when you burn the waste and try and get energy out. Maybe you should put up your place and say, look, I can do it in the backyard. I'll capture the energy off that.
I could be like the Loy Yang of Australia.
Craig, I feel the future is pretty positive because kids are all over this. You've got kids. Mickey's got twins and so is Dave. And my kids are just, mum, don't do that. Don't use that. And that's what's happening.
Pester power. The kids, a lot of the kids have been made to watch it in school. I feel like it's going to get to the point where they hate me because of it. But,
but in the meantime,
yeah, exactly. The kids are good and they do hassle.
Craig, when's it on?
It's on next Tuesday, 8:30.
Next ABC. Tuesday, 8:30.
On our ABC. We need shows like this, and that's why we need to continue supporting the ABC.
Good on you, mate. And well done with The Chaser, of course, on in Sydney.
Here in Sydney.
Ahead of us.
Yeah, thanks for letting me come on a proper radio show.
We'll get back. Good on you, Craig. Thanks for swinging by.
Kennedy Malloy's Liar Edition.
Jane Kennedy, Mick Malloy, Liar.
Pants on Fire Edition today.
We had so many liars calling us up, didn't we?
Says a lot about us too.
I know,
we've all been busted
lies.
Today. Every radio show has been busted, ourselves included, apparently. Yes. We have 66 fake followers
Twitter.
We're not happy about it.
No.
All the hotties with big cans, apparently.
They're not real.
Poor
Mick.
I can't believe it. And, of course, all in honour of the big kahuna himself, which is Donald Trump, who's been telling porkies and still getting away with it. We had a list of people who rang in. They were all hilarious. Jono's on the line. Jono, you've told a porky pie?
It certainly is. Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thanks, you.
Jono.
What did you say?
I once met a English backpacker and I told her I was a helicopter pilot for Channel 7.
Wow. Why would you think that would...
What did you really do?
What, did you pick her up in a helicopter?
It worked?
It worked.
But what were you really doing? What's your real job that you didn't say?
I was a storeman. Yeah.
She's an English backpacker, was she?
Yeah.
She's probably gone home and she probably sits there and still remembers the time she bedded a Channel 7 helicopter.
She's pining over you now, Jono.
Absolutely.
Well, that's a ripper. Jono, we'll give you a prize for that.
This prize is why, back for you.
That's an unnecessary one, I reckon.
What? An unnecessary lie?
If I was going to, lie to a woman, I'd come up with a lot better than that.
I reckon that.
About my 3 months to live and I just want to.
Somehow,
I don't want to die a virgin.
I think you'd be very creative.
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
I made that up in 20 seconds. You're just getting out of the blocks.
You're the master of it, Mick.
Yep. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
You got that right, big fella. Are you a big fat liar? If you are, welcome aboard.
Yeah.
We want to talk to you. Get on the blower. We're going to be showcasing liars from top to bottom in this hour because it's our lying special.
It's a lying edition because the big kahuna, the big liar himself, Donald Trump.
Liar in chief.
His pants have been on fire for the last 24 hours.
They can't be put out. They've got that helicopter, Elvis. They've been trying to put his pants out
for
3 months.
That's
been
funny.
Burning out of control. They're back burning on his butt cheeks.
They have. And we've got a lot of liars who listen to us and we're very proud of you.
And some of them who work with us. Some of them in this very studio. Dave.
Oh, how dare you?
Hey, what else is happening in this hour? We're going to be speaking to Lawrence Mooney.
We are indeed, and we're going to take... We've decided to and found out, speaking of lying, that Twitter has had a bit of a purge because there's a lot of Twitter followers that aren't real.
We're 97% clean.
We're clean because we only have about 3,000 followers.
Yeah, 3,000 followers.
If you want to follow us, Dave, what do you
Kennedy Malloy. Hamish and Andy lost 500,000, by the way, so we can get a few of those.
Don't you point the finger. You've lost more than us. How many did you lose?
97.
You can't afford to lose any.
No, that is true.
Let's be honest. Two of them were from your home.
That's right.
Hey, but let's start at the top. Speaking of big fat liars, they don't come any bigger than politicians.
It's not very respectful.
Well, I'm going to call it and say it like it is.
Right.
He's the Prime Minister of this country, but I think he fits all of the above criterion, as in big, as in fat, as in liar. Please make him welcome. It's the PM, Malcolm Turnbull.
Well, what an inauspicious welcome that was, Michael Malloy. Of course, in politics, you have your core promises and your non-core promises, according to John Winston Howard. But I, of course, have never been caught on a lie. You may remember that I've abandoned everything I believe in.
That's different.
I've turned my back on all of my principles, but I've never been caught in a lie. I'm a man of high integrity and wit and rapier wit. And I won't be drawn into this. Mind you, I have told some cheeky ones in my time.
Right. Well, we'll take your word for that.
Only to the ATO and the ASX.
And hopefully not to Lucy.
All right.
Never to Lucy.
Now, listen.
Never.
Your prime ministerial support ratings are soaring at the moment. What do you attribute this to? What's going on?
I am cock of the hoop at the moment. I am having a terrific time. Well, the people love me, Mick. That's yeah, the truth of it. And I think you'll agree with that. You'll concur wholeheartedly.
I don't. It's been a long struggle for you.
As preferred Prime Minister, I'm slaughtering tits. I'm 48% to 29. That's a 19% advantage. And I'm decimating him, taking him down to Chinatown, as they might say in some movies. I'm pantsing him. If we were in a pool game together, he'd have to run around the table naked and he's nutty. And I'd be kicking him in the butt. It's embarrassing. It's a little weirdo. It's like I'm a school bully. And I've got behind him and I'm giving him an atomic wedgie. I've reached into his trousers. I've got some big handful of undies and I'm pulling them over his head to give him a sniff of himself.
I'm still imagining Shorten running around the table naked. Tits akimbo?
That's right. The wobblers are up there in the T-shirt just bouncing around. He's back to a C-cup now. I think he's...
That would be in a video called Opposition Leaders Gone Wild. Something
that's
into
ridiculous.
That.
Right. All right, now
opposition leaders on spring break.
The Super Saturday by-elections are approaching. Now, can you fill us in a little bit about what's going on here with you?
Now, I don't think it'll be anything new to you when I tell you what's going to happen on Super Saturday. Of course, the five seats that are being contested are all not held by the LNP. One held by a Centre Alliance Party, the Downer girl in Mayo, and the other four are held by Labor, so we can't put a foot wrong. We don't stand to lose anything.
Right.
All I have to remember on Super Saturday, when I go to an electoral polling booth, is not to eat a sausage from a sausage sizzle from the end. Got to remind myself, always eat it from the side, Jane. Now, you can go down to Bunnings, and you can get yourself a Kransky. Or a bratwurst.
I don't mind a big Kransky.
That's right. And you can eat it with gay abandon. But I know that there will be some kind of paparazzi lurking there, ready to snap
me. Oh, you've got to eat it the right way.
Just as it's just entering my mouth, all gaping open, sauce dripping down, hot fat on my chin. Bang, they'll get me. It'll look like I'm performing an unnatural act and it'll be put up there straight away with the headline, Turnbull blows it at the polls or something, you know, something clever. So, I'm sorry, I've just amused myself.
I hope I don't see that.
I don't want it either. So all I have to do is remind myself, eat it from the side.
Eat it from the side.
It's very unfair. The unfair thing about it.
Yep, sorry.
Well, I think
of course I end up with two bits of sausage sizzle, don't I? One in either hand. It's un-Australian. It's wrong.
Yes, well, you've made that right. Many an Australian politician has been caught eating like a pizza with a knife and fork, or
an onion,
pie, or pretending
a raw onion. Tony.
Then why don't you try the raw? Why don't you go the raw onion route?
God, I miss Tony.
sounded so sincere.
His mistakes are like a Whitman sampler. Every day it's like, what is he going to do next? You may remember Jane Kennedy when he made himself Minister for Women.
That was brilliant.
It was like Caligula making his horse a senator, and of course he knighted the Duke of Edinburgh, which was one of the great days.
This is Kennedy Malloy, your new way to drive home.
On the show right now, a very special guest of ours. We love him on the show, the great Lawrence Mooney.
Oh, Lawrence.
It's very nice to be here.
Which part of the world are you in at the moment, mate?
I am in Sydney at the moment, guys, coming to you from... the beautiful, well, you know, it is the city on the harbour. And I think I've missed a couple of storms back home in Melbourne. I've been all up and down the eastern seaboard, Brisbane yesterday morning as well.
You're a mover and a shaker in this country. Can I ask, it's our lying edition today in honour of some of the big fat porkies that have been told all around the country. Have you got one? I know you. So let's just pick one of your favourites, shall we? Is there one that you like to tell? Is there one you're famous for?
An enduring lie that I probably tell my wife at least once or twice a week. She says, all right, well, you know, have a great time at the gig. What time are you going to be home? And I said, it'll probably run a bit late, but I should be home around midnight. She just looks at me and she goes, why do you even bother? Why do you bother?
You have a bit of form coming home late, Loz, don't you?
Have you ever made it?
I've never made it before midnight. No, once, actually, I went to the Logies and I said to her, I'm going to be home before the last track is finished. And I left the Logies and I got home. She was watching it in the lounge room and I came in and she said, my God, you're home. I said, I got here as fast as I could, baby. And she goes, you're so sweet.
I put my golf cart into a dam. I drove it into a dam right on the golf course. This is coming back from the clubhouse. Ran home to my house, which was on the golf course, and reported it stolen. Right?
That's a crime.
Oh, there's more. There's more.
Then about 10 minutes later, there's a knock on my door, and I answer. I'd had a couple. And there's a knock on my door, and actually it's the guys from the club going, Mick, you're not going to believe it. We found your golf cart. I go, where? They go, it's in the dam. I go, who would do that? And I look down, and I'm wet from the waist down.
They never twigged.
They did. They said, go to bed.
They stole my trousers as well and threw them in the dam and came back here and put them on me.
Hey, I'll tell you something that's not a lie. You are going to be co-hosting Front Bar with me tomorrow night.
That is absolutely right. We finally, Sam Pang has walked away. In disgust at his treatment.
And that'll be on Channel 7
They'll be on Channel 7, 8:30, 8:45, around the country. Get involved. You'll be fantastic, as always. Have you got some Twitter followers yourself? We're talking about
I have got
34,000 Twitter followers, and not one went away. This is a curated group of
I'm
people.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news for you, Loz.
Really?
Yeah, according to our statistics, you have 1,624 fake followers.
What?
Yes, we've done the audit and had a look, and there is an algorithm you can use, and we've been able to use it. So,
hold on, 1,624
fake followers.
Which means you're 95%. You're 95% legit, which is a
claim.
Very high rate.
Who are these people?
Well, Malcolm Turnbull, do you want to know what his Twitter audit report is?
Oh, what is it?
The Prime Minister of this country has 6,000 real followers, but 348,000 of them are fake.
Yeah, are we coming from Point Piper?
How can you get the Twitter audit? Where is that?
Well, this has just come out. Twitter have just last week decided that people were very unhappy, particularly advertisers. They want to find out whether all Twitter followers are legit or not, and they've been able to discover and find out that a lot of the followers are in fact bots.
They've been peeled away.
Kennedy Malloy have got 66.
Well, that's it. I had 1,600, and I think they're the most loyal followers too. They're the ones that were getting back to me.
Oh. That's interesting.
Guys, on Monday, I introduced Danny Glover to the team on The Big Breakfast.
Really? And,
he was over here talking to the Australian Congress of Trade Unions Triennial Conference. Everyone knows I'm a bit of a red rag and a unionist. Yeah. And I'm a member of my union, so I got to meet Danny and said, you know, can you please come on the show? And yes, he agreed. So,
wow. Fascinating.
You've pulled the big guns.
I pulled the big guns. In came Danny, better known as Roger Murtaugh from one of the most successful Hollywood franchises, Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon, of course.
And was he a good guy?
Absolutely lovely guy.
Terrific.
His kind of go-to phrase is, all right, baby. So, it's like coming to the studio here. All right, baby. And he's so cool.
Such a
lovely guy.
Okay.
Very giving. But a lot of Hollywood stars are stuck with, you know, one catchphrase from one movie. And, of course, his is... I'm too old for this shit.
Yes. Was he sitting on a toilet that blew up at that stage?
Mel Gibson, Lethal. Yeah, that's right.
You know, Roger Murtaugh is a cop in his 50s who's at the end of his career, and he meets Riggs, and he's, you know, insane and ex-special forces, and the Lethal Weapon franchise is born. So, of course, he volunteered to say it for us, and then I had to do my impersonation of it because that's really why I wanted him on the show.
So do you use that in real life, do you?
I do use that in real life. And some people think it's culturally insensitive to impersonate a black actor.
Well, as long as you're not blacking up when you do it, I would have thought you're okay.
I thought it would be acceptable.
How far are you going with
it? Well, it's radio, Mick, so don't tell anyone.
Yeah.
So here we go. I'm too old for this shit. So,
uncanny. Loss.
It's not bad, Murtaugh.
It's pretty good.
I give good Murtaugh.
All right. Yeah. All right.
Now, a lot of people live day to day by phrases from movies.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering whether you guys have a go-to.
Have you got one, Dave? What's yours?
Yeah, I like a bit of Borat, a bit of
high five.
Bit of high five.
Very nice.
I've got one from one of my favourite movies of all time.
Bueller. Bueller. Bueller.
That's what I say every morning when no one answers me in the house.
Have you got mine there, Dave?
Yeah, he's
mine.
remove your clothes.
For God's sake.
That's from Eyes Wide Shut.
A bit of Kubrick there.
My favourite. I'll tell you, one of our listeners, if you're out there, you want to get in touch with us on socials, give us a call, tell us yours, or read them out at the end of the show. Thank you, Lawrence Mooney, as always. Top shelf. Anything to plug?
Yes, indeed. I can actually get it. Lawrence Mooney, an evening with Malcolm Turnbull, is touring around Australia from September. For tickets and info, head to alist.com.au.
Good old A-List.
Town near you.
Well done, mate. Great stuff.
Get on board.
Kennedy Malloy's Liar Liar Edition.
133353, told a porky, get in touch with the show, Jane and Mick.
Well, some of the porkies that come out of this office.
They're making me smile.
Astonishing.
And I'm quite impressed by the ingenuity of our listeners.
There's been some great stuff coming off today. It's good to see everyone fessing up. Feels good to get it out.
Feels good to get it off your chest.
It's all in honour of everyone in our industry who's been...
Well, their Twitter accounts have been...
All our Twitter accounts, apparently, are not...
Been exposed.
Have been exposed. Told Trump's running around the world, fake news attached. We just wanted to hear from some good old-fashioned, ordinary, rank-and-file, grassroots liars like yourselves. They come in. I busted one of my mates once, claiming we all thought he had a girlfriend. He disappeared off the radar. Not that he shouldn't, but he was denying it. And we just noticed some weird food appearing in his fridge. Yeah, I'm doing a bit of detective work. And so I'm standing in front of his telly one day going, so you're telling me, Simon, that at this point there is no woman living in this house? He goes, no. And I go, right, well, could you explain this then? And I whipped off VHSs of Babette's Feast and Fried Green Tomatoes, which were sitting on top of the TV. Two of the biggest chick flicks ever.
Guilty as charged. Did he fess up?
He was a Van Damme man. Oh. You are a Van Damme man. What the hell are you got with Babette's Feast?
Did he sing like a canary?
He sang like a canary. Good. He did. I didn't ever have to get round to the potpourri. Hey, we're taking calls.
We are.
Yeah, if you've got anything else, you've been sitting on it. I've heard a couple.
You have not. Yeah. Oh, come on. No, honestly, I've not been a vast liar.
Quick, give her the pants sizzle.
Oh, yeah?
Give her the pants.
What do you mean?
This is Jane. Pants are on fire.
Well, I just check in with Jason. Jason, you've told a porky pie.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How are you, Mickey?
Yeah, good, mate. What happened?
So years and years and years ago, I was trying to be a wingman for a mate of mine, and he liked this waitress, and I told her that we both worked at SeaWorld, and she goes, oh, what do you do? And I said, I'm a linguist translator. And she goes, oh, that's interesting. I said, yeah, I translate for the seals to English. And, you know, and she wanted to know all about it. She fell for it. My mate's looking at me going, what are you going on about? And I'm doing like the, you know, clapping my hands. And I said, you know, they it all means different things. And she was ready to come home with that.
She was swooning.
That's what you should have done at the moment of climax.
Jason, congratulations on your clever.
Okay. A prize pack for you there, Jason. Thank you, mate.
Hello, Barb.
Hey.
How are you going, Barb?
Good, thank you.
Told a little fib?
It went on for years.
For years? All right. What was it?
So my daughter saw my husband and a grandfather kill a sheep and decided she was going to be vegetarian.
Yeah.
So I told her to get her to eat meat. She was about 3 or 4. I said that all the meat that I bought from the supermarket that came packaged came from plants, and only the meat that came from the butcher's shop came from animals. So she ate meat for years. And it was only when she went to school, when she was five or six, and she said something to the teacher about meat coming from plants, and she came home and she was hot. She was so upset with me.
Yeah, that's not going to sway it on any level whatsoever, wow. Barb. But I'm impressed that you kept up the caper for a while. Good on you, Barb. Thanks
well done,
for that.
Barb.
Kevin, have your pants been on fire?
Yeah, certainly have. A long time ago, a good 25 years ago, I applied for a job at a local pool, life-saving, on school holidays. And she was back then and still am the worst swimmer you've ever seen. And, I got the job mainly for the perving and, you know, to check out the girls because there was a synchronised swimming group that trained there a fair bit. So, but I didn't have a bronze medallion either. They never asked for it. But so I just...
You
if
faked
the synchronised girls went down, I was fine, but everyone else, I would have been in trouble.
So you had no bronze medallion and there you are.
And you couldn't swim.
At the pool,
and you're doing life-saving.
Hoping no one...
Yep. Couldn't swim to save myself. Kevin. Probably still can't.
Kevin, I'm not giving you a prize. You could have killed someone.
And yet I'm impressed.
Ben.
Hello, Ben.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Good.
Mine's more of a master forgery.
Oh.
back in the 90s when I was at uni, I spent more time partying, smoking, drinking, and playing in a band than passing the subjects. But ultimately, I did pass and graduated, but so I went to go for my first job, and that was fine. Got the interview, got in, and they said, no worries, we need a copy of a transcript. And I'm like, oh, crap, because back then nothing's online, but they printed out all my failures. So I had a mate who worked in the admin, so we did this whole Mission Impossible thing. Snuck in after hours, got the really special paper that they have to print them on. She printed it out. I even hid under the desk at one point when something came. So we put all the subjects that I passed, left off all the failures, took it back and got the job.
Oh, yeah. A very tricky young man, Ben. Remember Andy Lee on the show told us about his mate who got called in to do a big financial deal.
Oh, yeah, and said he could speak Japanese.
He said on his entry form that he could speak Japanese. That's right. And when they got in there, they said, why am I here? The guy's not speaking Japanese. It's over to you.
That's another great good story. Example. Thanks, Ben. Brady, let's wrap it up with you, mate.
Afternoon, guys. How are we?
Good.
A few years ago now, I was on my airplanes in South Australia, and when the parents went away, thought it'd be nice to try to take the missus at the time for a drive, so beat the L's around to a P-plate. Cruising up a road in the wet, listening to Chili Peppers cranking, went off the road, hit a give way sign that went flying over the car.
We don't condone this, by the way, but it's funny.
But I just busted the left-hand side wheel, so the car was drivable home, so doing about 20 k's now up a road in Adelaide, trying to just sort of get home, got the car home. In my crazy youth, thought, what about if I just pickle the locks with a screwdriver, take both the left-hand wheels off? We had a big gully behind the house, so we rolled them down there, put them in the gully, had a nice sleep that night, woke up next morning, rang the parents, said, oh, my God, Mum and Dad, you wouldn't believe it. Someone tried to steal the car, and they went, oh, shit, at least you're okay. We're so lucky that you're okay.
Oh, so you were the hero in the end. Well done, Brett.
Yeah. And I've been waiting for my old man to get sick or something to tell him on his deathbed, so you're the first to hear about this, guys. So
good stuff. Give him a prize, Dave.
Well done. Letting it all out there, Brett. Prize pack coming your way as well.
There we go. We'll be back.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
Sorry, Dave, I've got to break in right here. Quickly, get this up.
This is not a drill. Calling all men. This is a Category 5 chick flick alert. Abort cinema. Repeat, this is not a drill. Warning. This is a fully blown chick flick alert.
Listen.
Guys, seriously, write this down. Yeah. Take this down. Do not go near a cinema. If you have to, make sure you know exactly what you're being taken along to see, because I'm just alerting you that Mamma Mia 2 is out. It's in cinemas as of now. It's dangerous. It'll be in every multiplex. You'll be taken down there under false pretenses. Mm. I'll be guessing and just be on high alert.
And I couldn't be happier.
Yes, this is what I'm talking about.
I cannot wait. Yes, I'm going to go and book myself and my girlfriends. We're going to gold class. We're going to load up on the shardy.
This is what you're up against,
gentlemen. We're going to get the popcorn. We're going to dance in the
aisles. No, they're fired
up. We're going to go off because Mamma Mia, the sequel.
The sequel. The much anticipated sequel to the first film, which we all avoided.
Well, I didn't. I love the first film. Now, I'm not going to do spoiler alerts for everybody of this, but here's the good news first.
What?
Apparently, Pierce Brosnan doesn't sing in this one.
Now, that's if
you've
still
seen,
not good
have you seen the first one?
No.
You've got to get a load of Pierce Brosnan singing in the first one because it's really terrible.
Right.
But this one is so much more exciting. No. Do you know why?
Right.
Because Cher is in it.
I repeat, Cher. Chick flick alert. Have a good morning.
Chick flick alert.
That. And Cher sings.
Wait, don't say it. I'm going to play for you. We got it. I've got her singing. Are you ready?
Oh, come on.
Yes,
guys,
here we go. Play
guys.
It. Here she goes.
We're closer now, Fernando.
No!
Every hour, every minute seems to last eternity.
Somebody make it stop.
What manner of evil is this?
We were young and full of life and
it's a duet. Even better.
And I'm not ashamed to
say. If you have to go sit at an aisle seat, gentlemen, so you can get out of there. How long's that going for? Stop.
We've got to hear the chorus.
There's something in the air.
Take a run for a chance. Now's a good time to get out.
All right, you can turn it off now.
The girls.
Chick flick alert.
There it is. Do girls dress up and just sing along and stand
up and
dance? Of
course they do. And there's, you know, the musical, of course, is fantastic.
Whitney, our producer.
Whitney went to the musical of Mamma Mia the other night, and I've seen the musical a couple of times.
It's on a slot. It's what an onslaught.
It's not an onslaught.
So it's in cinemas and it's in theatres.
Yeah, Whitney, everywhere. What do you think?
I loved it. Oh, by the end of it, I was up in my...
Everybody's up and dancing.
Dancing.
Men singing. Dance too to this, you know.
It was yes. The best.
No real they man. Do. All I know. Gentlemen, you know what's going on.
Did you just say
on.
Bull?
Yeah, bull. But the men not into...
They don't do that. Karen's on the line. Karen, what's happening?
Well, I disagree with you, Mickey. Sorry.
Don't you get come back.
It's all right, Karen. Go ahead. Karen. Why do you disagree with Mick?
Well, my bloke saw Mamma Mia for the first time not so long ago.
I'm so sorry for him.
It, and I'm taking him to see the second one in what? Old class for his birthday.
Oh, no! Dave, stop it! No, Dave, there's been an outbreak of dancing in the studio. Girls, stop.
Listen, I reckon... Stop. You could be up if here's a good tip.
No,
yeah, you'll make the ladies
don't go
happy.
Near a cinema
make
complex.
The ladies happy. Take them to see Mamma Mia 2. Take your headphones along. Listen to a podcast.
Oh, we know. We know.
That's what I would suggest.
We know the rules.
If you or
see
the footy.
If you see a guy in that cinema, you know he's either trying to get out of the tin or get a route.
Now, what's wrong with that?
Whitney, come here. Now, what was happening in the theatre? What was the theatre production of Mamma Mia?
It was amazing.
Awesome.
It was so brilliant.
Yeah,
right.
And the songs are great. And you didn't realise there's so many terrific ABBA songs.
I mean, I obviously knew them all, but you forget how they have hit after hit. It's just the
and
best.
You just sit there praying for a fire alarm. Can I say this? Because I've just done something quite ingenious today.
What's this?
I do this from time to time. So it's my mum's birthday coming up.
Oh, yeah.
So I've spoken to my sister and I've gone and got 2 tickets to Mamma Mia the Musical. Which she will now chaperone my mum. I will underwrite it as the tickets, give it to her as the birthday present. Mum will go along to see Mamma Mia the Musical, and I don't go anywhere near it.
Oh, Mickey.
That is genius.
Mickey.
That is absolutely genius.
Yeah.
Did you want to take Tim? Tim's just rung through.
Tim, what's happening, Tim?
G'day, Mick. How are you going? Yeah. I took my wife to Mamma Mia in Sydney about 10 years ago.
Yep.
And I sat down and saw this big bulking bloke next to me. I thought, oh, gee, he looks familiar.
Yes, who's that?
At the end of the show, we were dancing and in the aisles and that, Paul the Cheap Harrigan.
Oh, of course it was. He had his arms up screaming. I'm sure
no Chief.
Unbelievable.
There it is.
Oh, there's your chick tip. I like
hey,
the alert.
Want to get it? Well, I'm not going to say
that. If there's
any
alert out there, anything we need to know about, give us a call.
I cannot wait. Gold class, here I come.
Alert. We're coming off the back of a fully blown chick flick alert. Mamma Mia 2's in cinemas.
Can't
Don't
wait.
Go near it.
Can't wait.
We have calls from all over the country telling us about their experiences. Lee's on the line. Lee, what happened? Did you get taken to a chick flick?
Yeah, my sister was down visiting and we said we should go see a movie. Mm. And I'd just seen the movie called Now You See Me, the magic film.
Yep.
And I had no idea or anything about the movie called Magic Mike. So she said it was another magic film. Oh. So I ended up getting the tickets. And it wasn't until halfway through the first striptease when I realised,
Guys, this is a cautionary tale. This is what girls do all the time to get you there under false pretenses. I've got a friend of mine whose girlfriend took him to see Beaches. She told him it was a documentary about fly fishing. Okay? I have another girlfriend of a friend of mine who said to her boyfriend, do you want to go see a Clint Eastwood film? He goes, yeah. Bridges of Madison County. I have got a million ways to get you guys.
Oh,
so
we're a clever
alert.
Lot.
Yeah,
we're
high alert.
It's been the big liar edition in honour of the leader of the free world, Donald J. Trump, with his little backflip in the last 24 hours after his meeting with the Russian president.
And our own industry, which has been found to be quite fraudulent, all puffery. Mm-hmm. But when exposed, we have on this program 66 fake followers, and I'm very disappointed in all of them.
Carol,
it was hot.
No, Jane was the hot one.
Jane was hot. The one I've been sending dick pics.
He's
not real.
We've got some people have written in on the socials as well. Pino Amenta, he's a friend of ours, friend of the show.
Sure.
I told a girl once, well, this is a quote from George Costanza. I told a girl once that I coined the phrase, pardon my French.
Well, to George Costanza.
He's got a quote, the sea was rough that day, my friend.
That was about a marine biologist.
Yes, that's right. He was a marine biologist.
Wow.
Exactly.
There it goes. So there it is. Can we plug our followers? Can we get some real followers?
Yeah, so if you want to follow us on Twitter.
What we really did find out. Here's the saddest thing. We have 3,000 Twitter followers.
Honestly.
And how many Instagram followers?
Thousands, I'm not sure. I don't have the numbers.
But like everyone else has got like
over
millions.
10,000.
Everyone else has got millions. Can you please?
Why come? Why are you following us, everyone?
Idiots.
Come
get on board.
It's not that
and
hard.
Follow me.
Follow me.
Well, follow the show at Kennedy Molloy.
Well, what's my Instagram handle?
Mick Molloy 66. Oh, your Instagram.
Mick Molloy 66.
Yeah, that's what your Instagram. Yeah.
Get on board and make sure you're real.
Right.
Keep not it real. Fake.
What's yours?
My Twitter is Jane.
No, I don't.
No, my Instagram is Jane.
So you sound sus
Twitter.
Already. You sound like you got something to hide.
Just look up Jane Kennedy and see if it looks like me in the picture. I mean, come on, it's not that hard.
No.
No, I'm not going to. What's wrong with people?
Tomorrow we've got Andy Lee on the show.
Oh, well, we're going
to
really.
I can't wait to speak to him.
Yeah, they've lost 500,000 followers.
Can we have some of those? Yeah. Yes. Can we get some of those our way?
We need some.
At Kennedy Molloy to follow us. Andy Lee tomorrow.
Can't wait. It's got to be big.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.